Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God, and I'm sliding into first at the last second. We were talking this morning about Luke 13 and bursting the bubble, and what does that have to do with Luke 13? Well, Luke 13, you know, it talks about bearing fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cut down. It talks about someone who evidently was some sort of a rebel, probably a tax protester, didn't believe in paying taxes to Rome. And of course, now the taxes to Rome, interesting taxes, tribute tax. Rome was invited in to Jerusalem and into Judea to settle a civil war. And it came because it was asked to come. After they got there, they started building harbors, and they started building bridges, and they started building roads and marketplaces. And that gave them a vested interest in Israel, so that, and even Romans were living there, so that if suddenly the local government could not keep the people in line, the Romans could. But because they had a vested interest there, they were asked to come in. Now, the problem with them being asked to come in was they were asked to come in by a guy who didn't really have the right to the throne. And they actually admitted that eventually, but they were already there. And so they remained, but they offered support to the guy who really should have been king. And he declined. But later on, there was a number of other things that happened. We won't go through all that history, but eventually Herod becomes king, and Herod is a great Roman sympathizer, involved with the Roman royal family, and he starts setting up things much as Rome was setting them up at that time. Not Rome the Republic, but Rome the Empire. See, Rome the Republic, the people were free souls under God. They could decide what to do, what was right in their own eyes. And that works real good if your eyes are clear and you're deciding things based on divine revelation of God, and you really know, you know, the law of nature is referred to as the revealed law. Natural law is referred to as the revealed law. And what it means by revealed law is it's the actual truth. It's the real law. It's according to the nature of nature's God. Now, there's a lot of opinions about what natural law is, and some of those opinions are wrong, and they're not the result of revelation, but individual interpretation, private interpretation. But the law is not given to private interpretation. The law is the law. The law is what it is. Now, what it is, that may be a debatable item. But it is. It's like I always say, I have an opinion. You have an opinion. But God's opinion is reality. Whatever God is, the creator, that moving force that is that divine intelligence that has moved creation into existence. Its breath regulates creation. And there is some sort of regulator. People can argue that. The atheists try to do it, but they actually look kind of foolish because there is something going on here. It is not just random coincidence. There are laws that fit into place, and you call them divine or you can call them whatever they want, but that natural law is real. And if you buck heads with it, then you're going to, you know, suffer the law of nature. It's going to come back and bite you. So, anyway, that divine law, that is the opinion of God. Now, your opinion of what the opinion of God is may be right or wrong. My opinion of what God's opinion is. It may be right or wrong, but God's opinion is what is truth. That is truth. And so, anyway, Jesus, suppose ye that the Galileans were sinners above all of the Galileans because they suffered such things as their blood mingled with their own sacrifices at the hands of Pilate. And I gave a couple different examples of what that might have been. One of them was a tax protester. The other one was more protesting the use of taxes in government. A legitimate beef, in my opinion, but still, in most of these governments that are under a king, ruler, president, prime minister, whatever, there is no division of funds because the government has a corporate nature. And we've been talking about that on the Free Church Report, which is every Tuesday evening. Join the network and find out the schedule. Go to Preparing You and find out the schedule. Schedule is not even listed at hisholychurch.org. It's just at Preparing You. But if you join the network, we'll keep you up to date. But we've been going through the Free Church Report, and the church was something where men were called out to be the government of God, but they could not exercise authority one over the other. They were operating according to the perfect law of liberty. In other words, all your taxes were voluntary. No one could force taxes from you. We didn't call them even taxes. We call them tithes. And you could tithe or you could not tithe. You could tithe to this guy and not tithe to that guy, and you just work it out amongst yourselves. That's working out your Social Security with fear and trembling amongst yourself. Did I say Social Security? I should have said salvation, right? But isn't Social Security your salvation? Isn't that what's going to save you when you're old and infirm and your kids don't want to have anything to do with you? I assume. Or they certainly don't want to support you. But the reality is that Social Security was what the Corbin of the Pharisees was. It's identical to what you have today as Social Security and welfare and all those things. You don't get welfare without a number. You don't get Social Security without a number. You can't even pay your taxes without a number. Hint, hint. But you got the number, so you are now surety for the debt, and it's been operating in debt since day one. Social Security was in debt from day one because the United States has been in debt since day one. It's in debt. It owes more than it has. But it's got you. And you will work to pay off that debt. And your children will work to pay off that debt. And that's why you've been cursed. And that's why you have cursed your own children. Because you've sought a system of Corbin identical to that set up by Herod, identical enough that the same result is happening. And some people want to be tax protesters. Some people want to win the election. And, you know, all the people think, oh, well, we won the election with Trump. You know, look who you had running against Trump. If they ever came up with a good candidate that wasn't, you know, indictable for criminal activities, whose father took over for Al Capone after Al Capone was arrested, whose husband was involved with a drug syndicate, and much more, I could tell you, which probably get me killed. but if you actually picked a decent candidate, you're going to lose, and you're going to get a socialist in. 90% of the professors teaching your children in college are liberal socialists. I mean, what do you think's going to happen? You know, I mean, it's a done deal. But same thing was going on at the time of Jesus Christ. We're doing it to a greater degree, and it'll be a greater collapse for us than it was for them. But it was still devastating to them, and it will be devastating to you. And you will be there for the fall of the last Roman Empire. So anyway, but Jesus had a solution. You can call it salvation, but he had a solution to the problem. And it's not only a solution in this world, but it's a solution in the next. Because if you don't bear fruit, God's going to cut you down and he's not bringing you into the kingdom. You can knock and knock and knock. That's also in Luke. And he's not going to let you in. he talks about the same thing with the foolish virgins. Knock and knock and knock, and he's not going to let you in. As a matter of fact, he's going to call you a worker of iniquity. You're going to tell him that you believe in Jesus, but he says, no, you're a worker of iniquity. Why are you a worker of iniquity? Because you've been coveting your neighbor's goods. Because you want benefits from men who exercise authority one over the other at the expense of your neighbor, which is a covetous practice, which is a violation of Jesus' specific teachings. You are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. You all are that. You go to church and the church makes you feel good. Makes you feel safe. Tells you that you're saved because you've thought a thought and said a word. But Jesus says it's not what you say, but what you do. And what you do is covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of men who exercise authority. And you curse your children with the very debt of every single benefit that you get or hope to get. Because there is no money for you, because it's in a bankrupt system and been a bankrupt system from the beginning. So back to Rome. Rome's in Judea. It's providing a service. It has provided infrastructure. And now he don't want to leave. You know, I thought it was interesting during the Obama administration, they were doing some rebuilding of infrastructure. A lot of the bridges in the United States were being reconstructed. Who's building those bridges? Who's refurbishing? They're actually Japanese companies are doing it. And Chinese companies. Wow. What's going on there? They have a vested interest in America, in the United States. As a matter of fact, they got all your money too, and they got a vested interest in that. You owe them millions upon millions of dollars, and they have debt notes to prove it. It's not quite as bad as you might calculate on first examination, because you didn't read any of the World Trade treaties that were signed a number of years ago. But some of us have. We actually know what's going on. But I asked at the beginning, when I was slapping this program together to get it on the air, I had to, you have to set it all up with the radio station. And I hadn't done that. And I got in here just minutes before we started, and I'm quickly doing it. I said, fake news, fake good news, and the really good news. The real gospel. The real gospel is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Luke 13 is telling us about the fact that we need to strive or we're going to be locked out. You're going to knock and knock and knock and God's going to say, get away from me. You're not going to be let into the refuge of God, which is a secret place, a mysterious place anyway, where you will find protection. And that protection will be both physical and metaphysical. And, you know, that's a little bit of a prophecy, and I'm not going to explain it. I'm going to keep you in the dark, because you seem to like the dark so much. If you want the light, you got to go to the light, and if you want to go to the light, you have to strive, and you have to start seeking the kingdom of heaven, and that means you have to start gathering together and taking care of one another as if you cared about your neighbor as much as you cared about yourself. And this is what Christ was teaching you. He was teaching you how to do that. And if you just start down that way and persevere, it will, that faith, acting upon that faith, faith is not just what you think. Faith is what you are convicted of, so much so that it controls your actions. It makes you do certain things that you would not normally do because you have this faith. And it bears fruit. It grows like that little mustard seed that he also talks about in Luke 13. So anyway, so what exactly, you know, we talked about courage being contagious. Well, fear is contagious as well. And what is fake news? Fake news. You know, actually there was a guy who was, we heard a lot about that during the campaign, even after the campaign. An election where, you know, these people are said to be fake news. The mainstream American news is consistently biased toward the left, which makes it essentially a leftist propaganda machine. Now you have Fox News, And that's biased towards the right. And I will admit that it's biased towards the right. But on the left, you have ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, you know, National Public Radio, all these other media outlets are left. They believe in progressive socialism. And they push those agendas. And they push the candidates that push those agendas. And progressive, you know, what's the difference between a socialist and a communist? Not much. Because socialism leads to communism. I mean, you just look at some of the places where socialism has been very strong in Europe. And the communist parties are doing rather well in many of those areas. But eventually, communism is a centralization of power because you have to have a centralized power in order to make communism work unless your nation is filled with saints. But saints have no interest in communism because they're already saints. They're already taking care of one another. It's kind of like, you know, national health care is a socialist idea that is part of the Communist Manifesto. And everybody has to sign up for national health care or get fined. At least that's the way it was set up. But Amish were exempt right away. Why? Because they already take care of one another. You fake Christians don't take care of one another like the first century church. You've been going to benefactors to exercise authority. Or you're in isolated little churches. You know, the Amish are pretty good in a lot of things, except for, you know what they do? That they trim the corner of their beards. Now, if you point that out to an Amish, why do you guys trim the corners? Oh, we don't trim the corners of our beards. We just, you know, we shave around, you know, our face there, you know, because the women don't like it when we just leave the beard, something like that. But actually, the way they trim their beard tells other Amish people what group they're with. The thickness of their suspenders, the brim of their hat. They have little things that say what Amish group they're with. That's what trimming the corners of your beard was about. The prohibition on that was that you don't become sectarian. You don't divide each other based on this group, that group, colors, you know, gang colors, whatever you want to call it. You love your neighbor as yourself. You love the stranger in your midst, and you love each other. You take care of one another. That's the simplicity of Christianity. But modern Christianity has got 40,000 different denominations, and almost none of them take care of the social welfare of their people like the first century church did. They just don't do it. They don't take care of one another with the perfect law of liberty. So guess what? They're not at liberty. They're in bondage, they're merchandise, they're again entangled in the yoke of bondage, on and on and on and on. So the kingdom of God was, Christ was telling you how to separate yourself, to be separate, to be free, the perfect law of liberty and all that stuff. And you, in order to do that, according to the law of nature, you have to care about one another. You have to take care of one another. You have to sacrifice to take care of one another. But you, if you're going to be free, those sacrifices must be free will offerings, what we call today charity. Andrew Clavin is an American writer of mystery novels, but they're kind of psychological thrillers, and he's also written some screenplays, you know, tough guy mystery films kind of thing. He was raised a Jew, but he converted to Christianity, and he's got three rules for mainstream journalism in order to kind of figure out what's fake news kind of thing. He says, if prejudices are confirmed by a single event, that event is treated as representative. But if the truth of a prejudice, you know, the fact that someone is prejudiced, is contradicted by a single event, that event is treated as an isolated incident. Now, that they do that all the time. You know, he has a number of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, white cop versus black suspect. And the statistics are is that, you know, and certainly there are people who will be racist in the enforcement of law. There certainly are. But in America today, generally speaking, racism is not a problem in police enforcement. People are always looking for a little evidence. I saw where a white guy was carrying a weapon down the street, and he was proving his right to carry, and a police officer came up and asked him questions. But then in another film, a black guy was carrying a rifle down the street. And of course, he had kind of dreadlock hair and all that kind of stuff. Well, it spooked some cop. And that cop pulls over and pulls out his guns, and he says, put the weapon down, get down on the ground. And he's already called for backup. And backup comes while the guy's down on the ground. And the guy says, I'm filming. And somebody behind him is saying, I'm filming too. And he just knee-jerk reaction. It doesn't necessarily have to do with the fact that you're black. But it had to do with the neighborhood that you're in and the way you're walking. And you're carrying this gun. Now, when they're filming it, they're pointing out, look at that, they're handcuffing him and all this stuff, and because they put his hands behind his back. The reality is, they did not handcuff him. If you look carefully, there were no handcuffs. He had him put his hands behind his back. He rolled them over to check and see if there's a pistol somewhere. The reality is, cops are more likely to be shot by black people than they are by white people, considering the disparity of the numbers. I think about 17% black in the United States. And that's a reality. They're shot by them. I mean, you can download YouTubes where a black guy says, oh, I don't have a gun or anything. And the next thing you know, he's pulling out a gun and shooting a cop. Happens. Of course, white guys shoot them too, but it happens. It's violent. Most of the black people that are killed in black neighborhoods are killed by black people in black neighborhoods. It's not killed by the cops. They're violent areas, and the reason they're violent isn't because they're black. The reason they're violent is because the families are broke down. They live in poverty. Their drugs are pervasive everywhere, and the reason that they live in this poverty is because those black neighborhoods have been targeted for socialist programs. The reason the families are broke down is because of socialist programs, not capitalism, socialism. And statistics bear us out on that over and over again. It was in 1960 that the number of children born to single parents in the black community began to rise. And now they're at an all-time high, 75%. That's why you have crime. That's why you have violence, because you don't have the family. Breakdown of the family produces that every time, has since the days of Rome. Okay? Write it down. It is written down. I mean, I hate to, like I said, I actually said this morning. I read this every single show. It's so good. Polybius, 150 years before the birth of Christ, is saying the masses continue with an appetite for benefits and the habit of receiving them by way of the rule of force and violence. In other words, the benefits are coming from men who exercise authority one over the other, who compel the offerings of the people. Rome used to operate as a republic where they did not compel the offerings of the people, yet they had temples that provided free bread for the needy of society, and they took care of one another. After the wars, they took care of their veterans, but they did it with free will offerings. Even when there was a king, Saul, and they had to fight a war, they were not to force the offerings. When they forced the offerings, they were called foolish by Samuel. When David went to the front lines, he was bringing supplies to his brothers who were on the front lines. And they had created a network to do this. World War, when they needed ambulances mechanical ambulances instead of horse-drawn ambulances, they had, I think it was 2,000 ambulances provided by free will offerings, donations, by charity for the military. This is World War I. We were still doing it in World War I, and we were supporting these situations. Now, everything is done through forced taxation. They actually even supplied the salaries for 4,000 ambulance drivers through contributions, not through taxation. For the war effort, they did this in World War I. Now everything, the military-industrial complex has cut out the right of you to choose whether or not you are going to support it. You're compelled to support it. But anyway, Polybius goes on to say, you know, the people having grown accustomed to feed at the expense of others and to depend for their livelihood on the property of others institute this rule of violence, force. And he says, and uniting their forces, massacre, banish, and plunder until they, the people, degenerate again into perfect savages and find once more a master and a monarch. Perfect savages, Romans, white Romans, were becoming perfect savages because of the introduction of socialist, covetous practices. The same thing's going to happen to the whites and is already happening to the whites. And even the Chinese Oriental community, the Asian community, they were actually hit. They maintain a better ratio of two-parent families than the whites in America, statistically. But even they are sliding away from that because this socialism is destroying the family. Because it used to be the family that was the key, the salvation of your society. Families and families that gather together in a free network of families, congregated together in free assemblies, and gave to men who would help take care of the needy of their society. And they applied a moral criteria. If you wanted to be a drug addict and an alcoholic and beat your children and get up at 10 or 11 o'clock, I mentioned a guy, Patterson, Jordan Patterson, psychologist and teacher, professor, very, very smart guy, very clever guy, very direct, outspoken guy, gets into trouble for it. And he says, good, that's what you should do. You should speak the truth. He's very outspoken. And he was saying, you know, everybody's talking about the protesters not letting controversial speakers speak at the college campuses. He says, it's easy to get them to speak at the college campuses. He says, just schedule them for the morning. Because all the socialist protesters, they don't get up till 10 o'clock. They don't get up for their early classes. And he... Everybody kind of laughs about it, but he says that we were going to have a gun. So we scheduled it for 9 o'clock in the morning. We had one protester show up with flyers. The other guys didn't show up because it's too early. 9 o'clock is too early. Boy, you could have some of these really, you know, Ann Coulter, or I don't know who the ones they always complain about, the fella Ananopoulos or whatever his name is. If he showed up at 7 in the morning, there wouldn't be any protester in sight. Perfectly safe. I thought, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the worst that would happen is we'd start getting these guys up out of bed a little earlier. But anyway, the reality is that hardworking people get up in the morning and get to work. They understand. They have this work ethic. They're not running around whining to get somebody else to pay for their social security, their salvation. Christians got up, took care of one another. They were hardworking. All the hardworking people, all the moral people, all the industrious self-starting people were becoming Christians. And because Jesus died on the cross, and because Jesus died on the cross, and Pontius Pilate ruled by an official edict of Rome. Actually, it was literally by the Roman procurator, not only in Judea, but all over, because he was the favorite, well, he was married to the favorite granddaughter of Tiberius Caesar. And Tiberius was sick, and he was delegating a great deal of his power to other people, including Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate gave this command that Jesus Christ was king in three languages. This gave anybody who became a Christian could pay their taxes to the ministers of Christ. That's right. They could just pay them. And according to the instructions of Jesus Christ, which are right there in the gospel, if you actually understood a little bit about history and what was going on, it says, this is the way you do it. Say, how much do you owe? Oh, owe this much, technically speaking. Taxes would be this much. But how much can you afford to pay? I can only pay this much. Okay, paid in full. No exceptions. Whatever you pay, paid in full. Now, of course, if the people don't contribute, there won't be anything to, you know, any bread to rightly divide from house to house to take care of the needy of society, which was the definition of religion. But there you have it. That's how the perfect law of liberty works. That's how the kingdom of God works. Back to no division of funds. There's no division of funds between Social Security and the rest of the bankrupt nation. So as soon as you signed up, you became a surety for the debt because you're a beneficiary. Now, and so therefore, you're also a surety for the debt. It's a corporation. It's a corporate body. And that corporate body won't let you out. Can't let you out. Can't forgive your debt. Can't let your children out. You're bound in a yoke of bondage. You are merchandise. You are surety for the debt. Jesus said this was going to happen. Peter said it was going to happen. Paul warned you it was going to happen. It's happened. So that's where you're at. But the good news is there's a way out. It's going to take a miracle, but you don't have to perform that miracle. You just have to go the other way. And so that's what you're going to have to do, is start going the other way. But anyway, we were supposed to take a break now and then. And so we'll do that, and we'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom in a moment. So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. This fake news is, how do you tell the fake news? Is there's this double standard. And many of the liberals, and you know, I'm not advocating conservatives. Most conservatives are way too socialist for my blood. But they have a double standard for everything. And like I said, the liberals, if they didn't have a double standard, they wouldn't have any standard at all, which of course means they don't have any standard whatsoever, but they claim this standard, you know, here when it backs their agenda up, but then they deny it when it backs up somebody else's agenda. Anyway, so they talk about white privilege and black privilege, but there is a black privilege. That's affirmative action. That's black privilege. You're easier to get into college, easier to get a job if you're black. Because even if you don't have the skills, you didn't take the time to learn what you... And the fact is, there isn't any reason why blacks aren't achieving, other than the fact that you've had a socialist nation for years. People always say, capitalism, how's that working out for you? It's socialism that's bringing down capitalism. Because socialism breeds selfishness. Oh, you're generous with other people's money, but you're not generous with your own. I mean, if you do look at the statistics, amongst the liberals, there's far less contributions per capita than there is amongst conservatives. Conservatives are far more generous. And again, most conservatives are way too socialist for my blood. But anyway, so there is a black privilege. There really isn't a white privilege. There's prejudice around, but it's not very much compared to the way it used to be. I mean, I grew up in the South. I know what prejudice looks like. You don't have hardly anything that's prejudiced today. And people were just as prejudiced towards the Orientals, the Chinese and everything when they came here. And they did pretty good for themselves. They buckled down, they worked together, and they stuck by their families, and they did pretty good for themselves. As a matter of fact, and they do pretty good in other cultures as well because of the background of their own culture. They're not immune to socialism by any means. Look at China. But, if you go to Australia, they're very successful, and people are very jealous of their success. But they're successful because they're hardworking and family-oriented. Kingdom is very family-oriented. But those families gathered together in the tens, hundreds, and thousands and took care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. And Galatians were contributing to the needs of Corinthians. And the Corinth was a far wealthier nation than the Galatians. But it was Christian Galatians contributing to Corinthians. And Corinthians were having troubles, financial troubles. I mean, Paul's even talking to the treasurer of Corinth, saying this: if you were to do this right, you would have more success. And Corinth used to do it. During the Peloponnesian Wars, Corinth was very much along that way. Now, America used to be that way. That's what made America great. The good news. And the good news was that you had to love your neighbor as yourself, take care of one another, and if you had a need, you went to church. And if you thought you might have a need some days, you went to church to take care of the needs of other people. You didn't go to church to get just for, you know, like a rice bowl Christian, just to get free handouts. You went to church and you gave. And those who had shared with those that didn't have enough. And when those that had didn't have any more, the ones that did have shared with them. Because they knew that they were people seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, if you look around, I got all kinds of people wanting me to share with them. Send them money, you know, help them out. But I look at, who were you helping out last week before you needed help this week? And they were helping this way and that way. They weren't helping. They weren't taking care of one another. So anyway, rule two is the news the scandal? Or is the fact it was wrongfully disclosed the scandal? And of course, we see this, you know, Donald Trump and recently is somehow in league with the Russians. And, you know, it really, I mean, you can find all kinds of connections with the heads of Democratic caucuses and party that had all kinds of dealings with the Russians. I mean, you got them on camera doing it, but the media doesn't show you those. They have this vague that some Russian might have somewhere or other communicated. Everybody wants to communicate with Donald Trump and with the people that are near him because he became the president. You know, like Congressman David Nunes announced he had information that the Obama administration might have misused intelligence against Donald Trump's transition team. And the story wasn't about the misuse of that power, but how did Nunes get the information? Did he obtain it illegally? It has to support their agenda, or there's something wrong with it, and they want to do away with it. And that's also why you have these people looking for their safe space. They don't want to discuss, you know, the merits of an argument. That they will either attack you with ad hominems or, you know, claim that you know, microaggressions because you didn't use the right pronoun and nonsense, absolute nonsense. Yeah, and that's another thing Jordan Peterson was pointing out is that the papers that most of these guys are producing that are these liberal academics, there's zero cites for the information. They don't do any of the research. It's all conjecture and conclusions without facts, etc. You know, it's like the people, way they treat the Tea Party people. Oh, they're a bunch of white supremacists. Tea parties have this huge, giant rally, and the park police, they ask them when they leave, how they leave the park, and they said they left it better than it was when they got here. They brought their own trash bags. There was no violent incidences. The people were walking around with rifles and pistols on their hips, and there was absolute no violence, no complaints. All the trash was picked up. They took the trash away with them. They didn't just leave it in the garbage that was provided. Absolutely amazing. Thousands upon thousands of people. Occupy Wall Street, hailed by the journalists as this important social development, right up to the moment it absolutely vanished and disappeared without a trace. But the stories that came out of the Occupy Wall Street camps, rape, defecation in public, trash everywhere, robbery, muggings, everything going on amongst them. No discipline. Huge amounts of violence. Fights breaking out everywhere. Oh, sure, there's some good people there too. But what was it really all about? It's whiners and complainers. Not that the Tea Parties don't do a little bit of their own whining too. I'm not a Tea Party person. I'm about the real solution, which is seeking the king. It's not orchestrating government. It's not manipulating government. It's not electing the right candidate. I mean, go ahead and try if you want. I mean, it's like Ron Paul. People say, well, you support Ron Paul. I like Ron Paul. I don't want to get him killed. If he got, you know, within 20 feet of the presidency, somebody would have jumped out of the bushes and shot him. Then nobody's going to audit the Fed. That's just not going to happen. You even the people that you got elected in there with the Tea Party, they're not doing what they said. They might slow, you know, it's like you're going down the hill in a car careening out of control with no brakes whatsoever, and the Tea Party guys are sticking their foot out the door and sliding their shoe on the sidewalk to stop the car. It's not going to stop the car. What they have to do is get out of the car and go the other way. That's called repentance. You have to literally go the other way. Do not put new wine in old wineskins, because it will just rupture. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm all for guys fighting corruption in the government. That's great. You want to do that? Great. But do not forget, the real solution, the real salvation, is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means that you have to start becoming the actual social welfare for your society, like the Amish did. But you don't have to trim the corner of your beard or wear suspenders or those funny hats and clothes and stuff like that. You don't have to do that. But you have to start caring about one another. And that's why we created the network. That's why we have the Burning Bush Festival. That's why we have fall festivals and spring festivals, is that people get together and talk about it. That's why we have a missionary traveling around. He's in Michigan now. If you're in Michigan, get a hold of us on the network, and he can come by and he can tell you more about the kingdom and answer questions. Meet us on Tuesday. You know, that we take calls with questions on the Tuesday class. And we are showing you how the kingdom actually works, the mechanics of the kingdom. But you have to strive. That's what Jesus says in Luke 13. You have to strive. You have to persevere. You have to seek that kingdom and his righteousness. And then the freedom will come. That's the good news. The fake news is that you think a thought or say the magic words and then everything's going to work out. Not going to happen. You actually have to mingle your blood with your sacrifice. You have to sacrifice in order to, and you can't sacrifice enough. You're not going to be saved by works, but your faith has to produce works. If you don't produce, I mean, the fruit of your faith is works. That's what you'll get. You will start caring about one another, not loving people from a warm pew, but actually being there and helping one another. That's the only way to create the actual fellowship of Christ. You can have, you know, thieves and robbers have fellowship. They all get together, they pat each other on the back, and they have, you know, drink, let me buy you a drink, you know, kind of thing. And they're buddy-buddy. But that's not the fellowship of Christ. The fellowship of Christ will include, like, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't talk to your wife that way. You shouldn't put your kids in public school. You shouldn't drink while you're pregnant. And because there's going to be a problem if you drink while you're pregnant. And, you know, people don't want that rebuke. They don't want the truth. They want to believe that they're saved without the truth. You cannot. You haven't accepted Christ. Christ doesn't even know you if you don't want to know the truth. And the truth is you're back in the bondage of Egypt. But that's part of the good news. Because you can do something about that. You can turn around. You can repent. You can think a different way. You know, just to give you another item of fake news, Newsweek editor Evan Thomas had been promoting, you know, an idea about some people were supposedly white guys raped somebody, you know, team members raped somebody and all this kind of stuff. And there was all this hoopla. And they found out, no, they didn't. That, matter of fact, didn't even happen. It's not real. It's fake news. It's not true. Actually, there was another news story just recently similar to that where somebody was saying that five white teenagers had, you know, accosted them on the bus and used foul language and all this stuff and ended up didn't happen. That was not what happened. They made the whole thing up. But everybody got the story of this racially volatile situation, you know, and everything. But nobody got the retraction. You know, headlines, page one, retraction, page 24. At the bottom, small print. But anyway, Evan Thomas, when he was finally called out on the fact that they had been publishing this stuff that wasn't true, he says, well, the narrative was right, but the facts were wrong. That is typical fake news. The facts are irrelevant. You can't argue their bubble away with facts. That facts are not important. They believe what they believe, and the more facts you give them, the more they'll just hate you. They will crucify Christ. And this goes for Christian fundamentalists as well as the liberals. It's just, you know, that's just the way it is. They don't want to know the opinion of God. They don't want to know the truth. They want to decide for themselves what is good and evil. They want to privately interpret what little facts they do glean to mean what they want it to mean. And the reason why is they don't care about their neighbor. They don't care about their truth. They don't care about righteousness as much as they care about seeming right. And that spirit is growing more and more prevalent in the world today. And it's going to destroy society. We see the dictators rising up. I mean, you have a president supposedly has the same amount of power that it always has according to the Constitution. But we're always seeing with every president is usurping the original power that's listed in the Constitution. Now, I'm not advocating the Constitution or anything. I mean, it's there. It's supposed to be regulating these guys. If the Constitution was really a godly government, you know, a godly document, inspired by God, so to speak, it would have all five of the requirements listed in the Bible for a Constitution to be read to any leader who can exercise authority one over the other, king or president or prime minister, it doesn't really matter. There were five items that were to be included, to be written down and read to that leader every day. One of them is in the Constitution. The other four are missing. So if that was a divinely inspired document, somebody went to sleep before they got all the inspiration And we cover all this in Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, which is a free book online, and explains to you all about that. Again, what I'm advocating is the truth about the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus was teaching the people how to live together in a way where divine providence, divine power would intervene and keep them, set them free and keep them free. But if you seek men who exercise authority for your social security, for your social salvation in this world, then you're not going to be fit for the next world. You're not going to be let into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is at hand. It's this realm of heaven. It's here now. It's right where you're at. It's a parallel dimension. And you can either access that or you can access the other dimension, which is a parallel dimension. And, you know, this is where karma comes from. This is how karma comes about, whether you want to use the word karma or not. Now, it rains on the just and the unjust, but there are miraculous things. I mean, when Jesus came into the room in Luke 13, you know, somebody was all crippled up for 18 years, and he just walks up and heals them. Zip. Done. Done deal. How'd he do that? Why aren't you doing that? Because he says all these things you should do, and greater things than these. Well, why did he heal everybody that was in that room at the time? No, just that one lady. Why? Because her soul was ready for his spirit. Same as the lady who had been bleeding for years and years and touched the hem of his garment. Instantly healed. Spent a fortune on medical treatment. Didn't do it. Touches Jesus' garment, he healed. This is because the salvation offered by Christ is both physical and metaphysical. It's both real and spiritual. And if you don't have it real and spiritual, what happens? You know, if you take man out of Egypt, but don't take the Egypt out of the man, when you get him out in the desert, he'll be making another central bank, golden calf. That's what the golden calf was, the central bank. And we got articles on that that shows that if you're a first-time listener. Okay. The people are going to hate this message. I'm not going to get into their bubble. But those of you who, this is ringing true, you need to become perfected in Christ. And you will not become perfected in Christ if you do not gather together. So join the network. Go to Preparing You. Click on the network links. Join the email groups. Find out who's gathering in your area. And if they're not close, doesn't matter. We don't need to pat each other on the back. We need to be seeking the kingdom of heaven. We'll fill in the gaps as we go. But you need to form congregations of record. You need to start giving to other people who are trying to do the same thing. And what you're doing when you're doing that is striving, which Jesus said to strive. You're working in that direction. Not going to be saved by those works. But if you work in that direction, if you head in that direction, if you're the prodigal son trying to get back to a government that operates according to the perfect law of liberty, God will run out and meet you halfway. That's the parable. He will celebrate you coming. He'll kill the fatted calf that you're headed back. But if you sit there and don't do anything and just say, oh, that's interesting, and use me as some sort of entertainment device, that's not going to do you any good. As a matter of fact, you're going to backslide farther away from the kingdom. You have to be a doer of the word. You have to gather together with others and sacrifice for others. Give of your life so that others may live. Lay down your life so that you may have life more abundant. You have to do it that way. That's built in to the law of nature. That's just there. Not my opinion, God's opinion. That's the way you have to go. That's the way you have to work it. That's what the gospel was all about. And then God will run out and meet you halfway. You're not even halfway. He'll run out a lot farther than halfway. and you'll become a part of those essential elements of Christianity that set the people free. That's where you want to go. That's where you need to go. That's where we all need to be headed, in that direction of the kingdom of God at hand. And you can do that right now, which is the good news. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.